Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about freedom, American freedom. Freedom of religion, freedom of worship, freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms, and all of our liberties that's bound up in our Bill of Rights. They're on the ballot. They're not spelled out that way, but the name Donald J. Trump is there, and Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the vote that you cast for that makes the determination on the direction that we go for the future of America. I am saddened to say we have some today that have made the determination that they're going to recommend and have in fact recommended Christians not vote for President Trump. In fact, there are a few of these so-called conservative Christians that say that we should not vote for the president. Dr. John Piper is one of those. Dr. Piper is a hyper-Calvinist, and I won't go into a great deal of detail, but just simply suffice it to say, John Piper believes in the absurdity in relationship to the extreme of the sovereignty of God. According to Dr. John Piper, you can't say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. According to Dr. John Piper, you can't make a choice to go to heaven or to hell. According to Dr. Piper, God has already made that determination that there's some going to heaven and some going to hell, and you can't reverse it, you can't change it, you can't pray a sinner's prayer, you can't ask for forgiveness and be saved, you can't invite Jesus Christ to come in your heart, because if you do all of those things, it's called works, according to Dr. John Piper. And yet Dr. Piper is one of the, as a hyper-Calvinist in America today, that has recently published several very staggering, absolute, unbelievable statements against voting for President Donald J. Trump. It appears that Dr. Piper thinks it thinks or feels in some way that only a person that can serve as president should be perfect, should be sinless, and without any flaws. Now, if you think that is possible, then you may as well hang it up. God can't use you either. If you've awakened this morning, you've got life and breath in your body. You're a sin-flawed human being. And yet, for Dr. Piper's philosophical rhetoric, he believes that it is unbiblical, unholy, and ungodly to vote for President Donald J. Trump. Here's a letter, an open letter to Christians who don't plan to vote for Trump. And this is something that I believe we need to recognize is dangerous. And this is playing into the hands, I believe, of Satan to undermine and to destroy our Bill of Rights in America. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917. That telephone number gets you directed through the studios right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment. Title of this article says, Open Letter to Christians Who Don't Plan to Vote for Trump. Americans are in the midst of what is undoubtedly the most consequential election since the Civil War. It's hard to imagine a greater contrast between two choices. As evangelist Franklin Graham puts it, these two vastly different directions for the future of the country will affect not just today's Americans, but our children and our grandchildren as well. Well stated and exactly correct. Ironically, this article says, ironically, though, one of these possible futures is clearly pro-life and pro-freedom, and the other is clearly anti-life and anti-freedom. Large numbers of professing Christians intend either to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, or either, more inexplicably, not to vote at all. So we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that's not an option. Listen very carefully. It's not an option not to vote at all. We need to pray, seek God's face, ask for God's wisdom. And according to James chapter 1, verse 5, the wisdom that the world offers is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Chapter 3, verse 15, James says, But heavenly wisdom is godly. It is God-giving wisdom. It is God given to us that we can have the understanding of how to use the knowledge that God gives us. And it's very simple. I'm not trying to complicate it. It's simple. And the simplistics of it is that our Bill of Rights is on the ballot for this election cycle. This article says, last week, popular evangelical pastor John Piper made his case for Christians not to vote for Donald Trump or Joe Biden, end quote. We'll continue the thought on this in a moment. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was just calling in to say that I voted early, and I voted for President Donald Trump. I think he's done a great job so far, you know. But I do have a quick comment. The Lord laid it on my heart right before you started talking about this about a few minutes ago, so I got my words up. I have something to say to the Never Trumpers who are Christians.
All right.
And
tell them.
You've now given me an outlet. I try not to talk about it on Facebook a whole lot because, you know, by then everybody's made up their mind. But if your heart is open to the Lord and you're really considering in your spirit who you really think the Lord wants you to vote for, I really want you to think about something. President Donald Trump is not perfect. He has said some foul things. He is a combative and sometimes angry, vengeful person. He's been married and divorced 3 times, cheated on his wife. You know what? He who is without sin should cast the first stone.
Amen.
Would you vote for your husband? Would you vote for your father? Would you vote for your uncle or your son? They're not perfect. They do things you don't know about. You've done things you don't want anybody else to know about. Does that make you any less worthy to come before the Lord and ask forgiveness? Who hasn't changed their minds about their position on the gospel or politics? Yes, he changed his mind. He's older. I mean, most people tend to get more conservative as they get more contemplative, and they settle down as they get older, and they see things differently once they've been through these experiences. Joe Biden has not done that. I am not. The polls say that suburban white women, that Trump does not have a whole lot of support from them. I understand that. Your sensibilities as someone who you want to see your children look up to someone who respects women, I understand that. I do not think that Joe Biden respects women. I don't think Kamala Harris respects women. I really don't. She has torn apart. You've seen Sarah Palin torn apart over and over again. You've seen Justice Amy Coney Barrett now. They have ripped her over and over again. She is just because she doesn't think like them. You really want somebody like that who is going to tell your daughters, because you don't think like me, you are a nothing to nobody, not even to the people who you look up to, not even to your husband. You know, I stay home with my daughter. You know, my husband supports us. And, you know, I used to work, you know, but I praise God that I have this opportunity. A lot of people look down on me. They look down on us. They think that I'm stupid. I'm college educated. I have 3 degrees, but they think that I'm an idiot just because I don't think like them. You know, you really want somebody like that in the White House telling your children that because you're a Christian, because you stay home, because this, that, or the other, because you don't think like me, you are nothing and you don't deserve to do any of this, you know, to be somebody who is in a position of authority. I don't understand
You make generally the point very, very well. And what you're literally saying is, and our listeners need to understand that, is that on the left, as we so glibly call it, we're talking about the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, if I can be precise. And those on the left in that realm, they have the philosophy and the feeling, if you're a Christian, if you are serving the Lord, if you honor God with your life, that somehow, some way, we're second-class citizens. They have already determined that. We've seen that in what has taken place in relationship to their push for the LGBTQ agenda and their push for continuing to expand the abortion rights, as it is called. No place in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights do you find a right to murder a baby in the womb. But because we take a stand on these moral, ethical, biblical issues for our faith, family, and the future of America, we are demeaned and castigated for doing so. And that is what our listeners need to understand. When we vote for Donald Trump, and Sarah, I believe you're right, when we cast a ballot for Donald Trump, we're voting for more than just the man. We're voting for our Bill of Rights. We're voting for our freedoms. We're voting for our liberties that God has given us through our founding fathers and our founding documents that we have been blessed with for some 244 years now.
Exactly. And I have another comment about that, and this is one thing that really gets to me a lot of times, is I have a lot of respect for Dr. John Piper. I really appreciate him and a lot of things he's written, but this is one place that I definitely disagree with him, because, you know, Satan likes to get in our head as Christians, and he deceives us. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that Satan can't use you for evil. He can deceive you, even if he can't possess you. But sometimes we as Christians tend to be, we're just pearl clutchers, and we're just like, oh my goodness, that how awful that someone would use a curse word, or oh my gosh, we can't be associated with them because they cheated on their wives or did this, that, or the other. I'm like, are you serious? Jesus went to the most awful people and raised them up and told them, go and sin no more. You should be praying for Donald Trump. You should be praying for your local leaders. You should be praying for these people, and pray for your spouse who goes into the workplace. Pray for yourself. If you're raising children, the hand that rocks the cradle rocks the world is powerful. But don't be deceived. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities and powers. And the original feminists, the first wave feminists, they wanted the prohibitionist movement. These women, the suffragettes, they didn't want the right to vote in order to be able to vote. They wanted the right to vote in order to influence society because, well, in a sense, at that point in time, men had failed. You know, men, they were alcoholics. They were going and cheating on their wives. They were coming home and beating their children. The original women were women of God, women in the church who wanted to influence their society in a positive way. If you give up the right to vote, which is one of the only, you know, one of the biggest things that sets us apart from other countries. If you leave this to other people to decide and you just go along for the ride, you're a coward as a Christian. If you
Absolutely.
Don't stand up,
well,
you should
well
stand
stated.
Up. This is one of the opportunities we have. It's
yes.
one of the few ways that you have to directly influence the leadership of our nation. And this is one thing that separates, the, you know, if you want to say Democrats or Republicans, you know, it's almost becoming a line between good and evil in a sense, even though there are a lot of Republicans who are, you know, corrupt. Nobody's perfect. But the we're now towing a line that is literally life and death when
yes,
it comes to certain people.
Sarah,
so one thing
you.
That Democrats have done is they get together and they work as a team. And
oh, they
a
have.
Lot of people
Absolutely.
Get together and they vote. And they get
and
behind.
And I believe
candidate.
They get the demonic whisper in their ear each morning as to the talking points they're going to use. But Sarah, thank you so much for your input. And I pray that our listeners have heard that with open hearts and minds and will cast the ballot that will be pleasing to the Lord and beneficial for our nation in the future. Thank you so much for your comments. Sarah, also, let me say this as our listeners continue to tune in. Here's further what John Piper says. Piper is concerned that Trump's personal, this is what we were just talking about, that Trump's personal failings, specifically four things, his unrepentant boastfulness, his vulgarity, his factitiousness, and his past sexual immorality are also, like abortion and socialism, deadly, even potentially national corruption. Therefore, John Piper said he will not vote for either candidate. And I just made a little marginal note on the bottom of this article here talking about the letter to those that do not plan to vote for Trump. This is irrational. This is foolish. This is unbiblical and, in fact, downright stupid. And he goes on further. It's about a three-page document. And it goes further to say here, although many evangelical leaders openly support Trump and Pence, like mega pastor John MacArthur, who said, quote, now this is what John MacArthur says, any real true believer will vote for President Trump over Biden anytime. John Piper is not alone, and there are other prominent Christians who refuse to support Trump because of his perceived character flaws, end quote. But I was thankful to hear John MacArthur making the statement, which is in total contrast to what John Piper is saying, that he says that he's voting for President Donald J. Trump. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to what we're saying today, because a ballot cast for President Donald J. Trump is a ballot cast for freedom on our ballot, freedom, our constitutional liberties, our freedom of speech, freedom of religion, our right to keep and bear arms. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but we need to understand and recognize that we are human beings. And if these folks that want to talk about not voting for President Trump because of his human frailties and his human flaws, look at King David. Look how God used David as king over Israel. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But this is, and I'm not saying this to condone in any fashion murder or adultery or any profanity in the multitudes that have a profanity-laced mouth. I'm not condoning that at all. But I point this out, that God uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect plan in the life of human beings on the face of this globe. If that were not so, how do you quantify, and how do you then determine how many sins does it take before you can say that person is disqualified? Is it 2? Is it 10? Is it 20? Is it 50? How many? Just how do you count that, John Piper, and other perfect people that want to take the position that I'm going to sit in the corner, I'm not going to vote for anybody, but I'm going to cast doubt and delusion and discussion about President Trump to try to cause people to sit at home and not vote? I'm concerned about that. Here's an article that further. John Piper is making it clear why he probably won't be voting for Trump. Over on John Piper's Desiring God site, the famous pastor and author that has put a lengthy post together on his thoughts on an upcoming election you may not have heard about. While John Piper studiously avoids mentioning either candidate by name, it doesn't take a scholar to piece together what he's thinking about. Contrary to around 80% of the white evangelicals who cast their vote for President Trump in 2016, it sounds like John Piper is not willing to give President Donald Trump a pass on the ballot at all this year. The core of Piper's argument seems to be tackling an oft-heard defense of a conservative Christian vote for Trump. Quote, "The president himself may not be a saint, but he's delivering a conservative goal, according to Piper. This just won't cut it," end quote. He says, "I think it's a drastic mistake to think that deadly influences of a leader come only through the politics and not also through the person," Piper writes. "Flagrant boastfulness, vulgarity, immorality are not only self-incriminating, but they're nation-corrupting," Piper goes on to say. Further in the article, it says, Piper takes pains to stress that he is not telling anyone how to vote, nor does he make it explicit exactly how he will vote. Reading between the lines a little, it sounds like he does not plan to cast a ballot for either candidate in this election, writing that his calling is contradictory by supporting either pathway to a cultural corruption or eternal harm or ruin for our nation, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're saying that for you to run for president or for any other office or for leadership in your home or for a leadership in a local church or in a Christian organization, you must be perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, no place in the Word of God does it say that. It is contradictory and absolutely in conflict with what the Word of God tells us completely. Ladies and gentlemen, not only looking at King David, look at King Saul, how he constantly was, he was certainly not perfect, ladies and gentlemen, but God used him. Look at other characters in the scripture that God used. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, murdering Christians, persecuting and prosecuting Christians. He was saved, became the Apostle Paul that shook the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was the human instrument that God used to write 14 of the 27 New Testament books. And the Apostle Paul is the one, ladies and gentlemen, that God used. God used Peter. God used his other disciples. None of them were saints. None of them were perfect. None of them were without sin. And yet somehow, some way, that's the mantra. And that's the backwards, unbiblical, unholy rationale that we have coming out of some of the so-called evangelicals today in relationship to that. I'm looking at an article here that says, join the movement. And then it lists a whole list of the who's who in the evangelical movement. And it further states in the article, as pro-life evangelicals, we disagree with Vice President Biden and the Democrats' platform on the issue of abortion, but we believe a biblically shaped commitment to the sanctity of human life compels us to be consistent in our ethics of life that affirms that sanctity of human life from beginning to end. Then to go further with this whole montage of things that racism kills, poverty kills, lack of health care kills, the lack of funds kills, et cetera, and the lack of having all of the free things that Joe Biden is talking about giving, all of that kills also. So therefore, their position is that we need to vote for Joe Biden because he's going to provide all of these things free. And ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from a group of folks that are supposed to be and are couching themselves as evangelicals. That's the furthest thing from a Christian mindset, a Christian understanding of what Christians ought to do. In fact, here's an article that says, Michigan pastor leaves the ministry because his church board supports President Trump. Keith Manish has given his life to the Christian Reformed Church, serving as a pastor for more than 30 years. He's done so happily and thankfully. But on October the 11th, Manish gave his last sermon and walked away from the ministry among increasing political tension and divisiveness. Why was that so? Put simply, he stepped away due to the church's board supporting President Donald J. Trump. I think if that's his problem, he needs to walk away from the pulpit. He needs to put on some big boy pants and grow a spine and take a stand for what's moral and ethical and biblical and take a stand for what God would have us to do. It is absolutely something that ought not to be viewed in any other prism or fashion than the fact that as Christians, of all people, we need to recognize how much President Donald J. Trump has done to the protection of human life, protection of our religious liberties and our freedoms and our Bill of Rights. Here's an article, another article out of the October issue of the Decision magazine. It says the two candidates also differ on abortion. President Trump has consistently supported the conscientious objections for nuns for paying for abortion drug coverage. Biden opposes such exemptions, even the faith groups, even for faith groups. And while President Trump has vowed to appoint judges who will overturn Roe versus Wade, Biden has promised to appoint judges who will defend Roe versus Wade. It is simply antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. Here's another thought in the same magazine, a different article. On the first day of office, Biden will reinstate the Obama-Biden guidance revoked by the Trump-Pence administration, which will restore transgender students across the access to the sports, bathrooms, and locker rooms in accommodation with gender identity. Biden will ensure that LGBTQ individuals have full access to appropriate health care, treatments, and resources. This includes covering care related to transitioning surgeries. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If there's not another reason on the face of God's green earth to cast a ballot against Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris is on the issue of the LGBTQ agenda, the sodomite agenda that Joe Biden is pushing and says, number one, prior to number one, first day in office, he's going to make sure that what was found in the Equality Act, House Bill 5, which was passed by 240 Democrats and is now on the desk of the senators with 47 senators signing on board, that will make all bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, dressing rooms available to the perverts and the pedophiles that want to come in and harm our children, our women, our daughters, and our mothers and our grandmothers. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a perversion of anything that's called biblical truth, and yet to think any Christian will take a stand for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and that's their position? Ladies and gentlemen, it's antithetical to biblical truth. It is absolutely detrimental to the Christians in the future of the preserving of morals and ethics and values in the United States of America. I believe Joseph is on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I was hoping to get this in. I believe God deliberately chose Trump because he's brash, outspoken, blunt, confrontive, because previous mamby-pamby Republicans were so stately and reserved that the Democrats, who were verbally aggressive, easily defeated them. And sometimes you got to fight fire with fire. And
Brother, you have stated it concisely, but here's a further issue with that. Our previous presidents are, in fact, multitudes of the Republicans today. They can't take a stand for truth. They can't take a stand for President Trump simply because they've got the hand in the till, just as with Joe Biden taking money from China and from Russia and from Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera. I contend that our Republicans, for the most part, in the same position, that's the reason they do not want to see Trump reelected, is because he's cleaning the sewer, not just the swamp.
Right.
He's draining the sewer.
Amen.
So we need to, there's a lot of folks we need to vote for, and there's some we need to vote against, and replacing them that we can have a clean house in Washington, removing those that are the embedded bureaucrats. And by the way, our listeners may not be aware, and you may not either, that just this week, President Trump has signed an executive order that will put every civil servant worker, as they call them, federal workers, in a position that they can be fired with or without cause, so that one of the first things he'll do after reelection is go in and clean house with those embedded bureaucrats.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much for your call. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus had the same idea and the attitude and the personality in his humanity as President Trump, if I can be bold enough to say that. When he walked into the temple, he had a bullwhip in his hand, and he was lashing out at those that were the reprobates, and he lashed out at those that would do harm to ministry and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He drove them out, flipped over the money changers' tables, and drove them out. That wasn't a panty waist that was doing that, ladies and gentlemen. That was a he-man that was taking a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking a stand for truth and for morals and for ethics and for values. That's what we ought to recognize, ladies and gentlemen. America does not need to be, nor should we want to be, have any desire to be like China. Here's an article from ACLJ, from Jay Sekulow. China wants its people to reject Jesus and worship the government instead. Christians have been pressured to replace images of Jesus with pictures of Chinese leaders. Chinese citizens are encouraged and even rewarded for spying on their neighbors. Government officials collect data on Christians and have even installed cameras inside of the Chinese churches. Christian pastors and church members in China have to be rounded up and imprisoned. Pastor John Cho, of a U.S. permanent resident, was arrested over 3.5 years ago and currently is languishing in Chinese prisons simply because of preaching his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to what has been said by so many of the mamsy-pamsy, panty-waist, weak Christian pastors that have not got enough spine to open their churches, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. James Dobson, with an open letter to Christians, is encouraging. It's about a 5-page letter, but he makes some profound statements in it. He said, "How will Americans and how will you decide who to vote for executive officer? I have heard from dozens of friends and acquaintances for in recent weeks who tell me that they will base their decision solely on a candidate's rhetoric, on his tone, on his style, or his likability. Does that describe your thinking process? Just how, as I would just now, I was about to react to that idea, and my wife Shirley brought in an email that she had received a few minutes ago from a friend. It quoted an anonymous statement that gets to the very heart of the issue. This is not a minor or a junior high school student popularity contest, it says. It is a matter of voting for a person, but voting for a platform." And then Dr. Dobson goes into great detail of what that platform is. He says it's about our Constitution and the immutable God-given rights it protects. It's about our values. It's about our truth. It's about the great and the hope for America. That is why the notion of choosing a president based on frivolous personality characteristics is unfortunately unbiblical and ought not to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have people that will take that kind of stand. And I pray that you recognize that our freedom is on the ballot. Vote for freedom. Vote for America. Vote for the right to keep and bear arms. Vote for our right and freedom to worship. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1/2 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 and on Sunday mornings at 8 on 100.3 FM. For expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety at 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. Tune in and invite others to listen.